Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah. Hello, Egg Chasers. Right, Egg Chasers podcast part two, the weekend of the Champions Cup quarterfinals. We've dealt with a bunch of that. I think it's around about time, and we split this into two parts to match what we think your commute probably is, and we know a lot of people listen on their way to or from work.
This is kind of like the trendy hipster B-side, isn't it?
Oh, do you know what? That's exactly it. Yeah, this is this is like
a vinyl record.
Hipsters going rooting for records.
Yeah, yeah, it's during the B-side, My Lovely Horse. That was actually a B-side record.
So most people like part one.
Yeah.
But the real cool kids like part two.
Oh, B-side. Yeah.
Yeah, because they like, this is going to be nonsense then.
Yeah.
This whole podcast now. This next 50 minutes is going to be nonsense.
And what's interesting is now we've put it in that context where this is the hipster B-side. Suddenly, your New York Jets pyjamas and NYPD t-shirt kind of looks sort of ironic. In a little bit, JB.
Exactly.
As does Phil's high boots.
They're lovely boots.
How many? They are lovely boots. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7 or 8 whole boots.
Mm.
Eight.
With my my fancy ropey's laces.
Yeah, nice.
What are they, mate?
What?
The boots.
The boots. They are Grenson Fred with a commando sole.
Nice, very nice.
Kinky boots.
Right, squad, let's talk about rugby.
Yes, let's talk about rugby, and let's talk about international squads. Right, let's start with the England squad then.
Yes.
And obviously, this should be really quick, because we all completely agree with the selection of Nathan Earle, Lewis Boyce, Harry Malander, Gary Graham. No question marks there.
Well, what do you want me to say about that?
Non-Armand, non-selected.
Harry Malander is the only one I agree with.
I like Harry Malander.
But really?
Really? So, hold on. You think Harry Malander has earned a call up to the England squad?
No.
If you let me finish,
yeah.
Harry Malander is the only one I agree with, but because it seemed, and the recent squad seemed to be a straight shootout between Harry Malander or Piers Francis. And Harry Malander is definitely better than Piers Francis.
100%.
Yeah, but I could probably give you a list of a half a dozen more people that should be above that.
Tim, I'm not sure on that, actually, because of his versatility.
Yeah, and also, Tim, you've got to remember this. You could give us a list of half a dozen people in most spots that are better than other people in this squad. I mean, it's a bizarre squad.
I don't actually mind Harry Malander.
No, he's got a lot of potential.
His potential is huge.
His potential is massive, and his positives are incredibly positive. His defence is a huge question mark.
It does need some
work.
Not
only is it a question mark, he's not doing himself any favours with his versatility. So it might have got him picked, but it also got... what's his name, Pitt, from Exeter? And it doesn't actually help. I think Malander would make, I've said this for a long time, make an amazing 12. But of his own admission now, he wants to only play 15. This isn't a good idea.
If you're going to play 15, you have to tackle Dave Ward.
Yeah.
And not get stepped and gassed by him.
You know, we've already seen another supremely talented 15 who is not in the England squad because of his defence.
Yeah.
In Alex Good.
Do the inconsistencies that come out of England are maddening. They are maddening. Like, how could you not go with Alex Good, who is a brilliant... I mean, I think he's the best all-round rugby player in the Premiership, I've said it many, many times. And he's not in because his defence isn't great. You've got someone who's got a great all-round game like Harry Malander, not as great as Alex Good.
Yeah.
His defence probably isn't as good as Alex Good. But why is he there? Yeah. What has he done? Eddie Jones's job is to win a World Cup in 2 years' time, and he's going to blow it.
Harry Malander's stats playing fly half for Northampton are interesting, though. They win every time he plays 10.
Yeah, it stopped the season. They lost their first game, then they win the next two. But they might win the next five, actually.
They had a good run of form at the start, apart
until
from the Saracens.
Nathan Earle. Nathan Earle.
Should be Alex Lewington, right?
Or Woodburn.
Or Woodburn.
Oh my God, it should be Woodburn. It so should be Woodburn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just not even a... It's not even a discussion, that.
Yeah.
I mean, what...
I'm... That one, definitely I'm confused
I'd
on.
I'd love to know what this...
I am confused on Denny.
Yeah.
Is that...
Denny's in there. And Denny, his try scoring rate last season was exceptional.
Not so good this year.
It's not so good this year. And, I mean, we saw him in the Argentina game. He scored one phenomenal try. He also missed three tackles that cost two tries.
And it's the inconsistency with the selection. Yeah. So he'll say, like, oh, yeah, well, I mean, one guy's defence isn't good enough.
Rocco's defence isn't good enough.
Yeah, but
Denny's is okay.
Rocco! I mean, he's injured.
He's injured. Rocco's injured, so I can forgive that one. Yeah.
It's Gary Graham.
Who?
I've still, apart from the triple pirouette and a tiny bit of handling for that 80-yard try.
I mean, there is an argument that the triple pirouette on its own is enough to justify selection.
I've not seen Billy Vonopola do that.
Here's the other side.
Not seen Don Armand do that.
Here's the other side to this coin. We were all saying Marcus Smith who? And he's probably top five, I was going to say quarterback then. I've got the New England Patriots on my mind.
In terms of his stats this season, yeah.
Top five fly half.
Yeah.
But he's 18. So he might sneak in as the third fly half at the World Cup. So fine, he's in the squad.
I think he's going to be a starting fly half by the World Cup.
Oh, do you want?
he's not going to be starting.
I don't think it will happen.
Put it on the board if you think it is.
I think it's
short of probably three injuries.
Is it going on the board, Jay?
Yeah, throw it on.
Marcus Smith will starting fly half.
Marcus Smith is going to start games for England very soon. There you go.
Well, no, that's a different thing.
That's a very different thing.
What do you want me to say? What do you want to say?
You've already said it.
He'll be starting fly half by the World Cup.
You've already said starting fly half by the World Cup.
Definitely be in contention.
He's
in contention now. Okay,
he's in contention
he's
now because he's in the
old.
He's in the
he's
squad.
A top five fly half already.
Have back your own conviction. You said it. You said he will be the starting fly half by the next World Cup. Back yourself.
Yeah, put on that board.
Put it on Tim.
Actually, I've already got Marcus Smith, the greatest player of a generation.
So I'll add a caveat onto that and England starting 10 at 2019 World Cup.
Yes, there we go.
Yeah, do it.
There we go.
Do it because you're not going to. Yeah. So here's the thing. You've got the steady hand on the tiller, which is Farrell anyway.
Yeah, you have.
So he's only going to be replacing Ford.
It's true.
Isn't vintage Ford.
You only need one injury.
And there's no sippers in the equation. It's on. It's definitely on.
Well, actually, do you know what? This is one of the things I think I would like to see, on form at least. Owen Farrell wearing that 10 jersey, I'd like to see.
The problem with that is, who is the form 12? That replaces him.
So I don't think they're going to find a form 12. I think they're going to get a big Bosher. I think they're going to
Slade's not a 12.
No,
Slade's not a 12. We've seen him.
I reckon that they're going to go with
Slade's a great 13. I've made up my mind. Slade will only ever now be a great 13.
But I think his gas or lack of is going
to. He's fast enough. He's not JJ, but look at. He's as fast, if not faster, than Conrad Smith and Brian O'Driscoll, who are two of the best outside centres of, well, ever. Last 20 years.
Okay. All right.
He's a 13. I'm not sure he'll ever nail the start in 13 jersey because of JJ, but I think he is.
I think ahead to a rugby... When I imagine a Rugby World Cup final, I just imagine Owen Farrell wearing a 10 shirt.
And Ben Tao at 12. I mean, that isn't a joke.
I think that's
what Eddie will do because he doesn't value attacking rugby in any way. I think he'll go for the most direct route. I think he'll also use Manu as soon as he can.
Here's one interesting thing. So Eddie Jones listed his players in terms of front row. Oh, Lewis Boyce. You know, we all Phil. You've been keeping tabs on Lewis Boyce for some time, haven't you?
I have.
You spotted him in the under-20s World Cup, didn't you?
you were watching him in the championship last year. I mean, that's actually a lot of England players. Gary Graham, Lewis Boyce. There's another one as well. Who else was playing championship rugby last year? There's another one. I'll remember it. But Lewis Boyce
Marcus
was playing.
Smith was playing school rugby.
Lewis Boyce was playing for.
Was Nathan Earle
it Jersey?
A couple of years ago playing.
Yeah, it wasn't him, but there's another one.
Nathan Earle dropped down to play ITM Cup with Canterbury, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, just. an aside, Nathan Earle's gone to Quinn's. Quinn's managed to find the most stacked picture of Nathan Earle.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he looked great. Absolutely great.
Why not? Mm. Show off your new signing.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's an interesting side. I don't understand this squad at all. It's all part of some crazy plan, which just, I can't see it working. I mean, the biggest problem... Great England teams in the past have always been built around great club teams. So Saracens are the club team of a generation. I understand them bringing players in, but the Saracens boys look absolutely shattered.
And well, also, they didn't this weekend, to be fair. They did the week before.
Yeah. Well, hold on, just so you said I'm not stopping you, but this is the point you made last week and the week before.
No, it's not. It's completely different. And I just
it does sound like a point you've made before.
Well, I mean,
you made it earlier.
I guess it is a rugby podcast, and we do talk about England a lot.
Well, no, you made this point earlier in the podcast as well.
What was the point?
Well, the point that you've just made is the Saracens players look shattered.
Which is leading to which of
the And points? If it's the point that you made last week, you will go on to say, so why is Eddie Jones not focusing it around Exeter?
Correct. Correct, Tim. Correct. That's what they need to do. They need to transition some more Exeter players.
Well, Jack Noll could be transitioned into the centre.
How?
He listed Jack Noll with the inside backs. He had outside backs, inside backs, which was the scrum half, the fly halves, and the centres.
By the way, Tim, isn't Noll saying in radio, repetition is reputation?
Yes.
Shouldn't I not be saying the same things week in, week out then?
Say it in one line instead of the same. Like, you established... He's focused on Saracens. They're not doing very well. Exeter have been doing well. Focus on Exeter. You did the very long version of that. So next time you can go, as I've said before, he should be focusing with Exeter players.
There you go. There you go. Free coaching.
so media Phil, training.
You were once upon a time an outside back.
Yes.
What do you see in Jack Noll that makes you think he's going to be a world-class 13 and win the World Cup for England?
He's got good feet. He's fast enough. His defence is okay. None of the so. In short,
you're not describing Conrad Smith there.
So I've seen Noel play a couple of times for Exeter at 13.
13, yeah.
And going forward, looks fine. Anything that gets him a bit more ball, front foot ball, and a bit of space is good. I don't think I've seen enough. I don't think I've seen enough of his handling, his decision-making, his kicking, and certainly not the defence in that channel.
There's basically two opportunity costs here. One is, who do you drop at 13? JJ's ace, Slade's ace.
And you've got Daly, who can play there.
Daly's ace. I mean, Trinder's ace. I know he's not in the squad, but he's ace.
So the opportunity cost of not having one of those guys at 13.
Second part is, what does Noel do really well?
Yeah, not having Noel on the wing.
Yeah. And he runs around and looks for work. I mean, you wouldn't want your 13 running around looking for work.
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. One of the best things that those Exeter wingers do is they don't just hang out on the wing. They come and pop up anywhere in the back line doing all sorts of different jobs. They can play like an auxiliary flanker when they need to, or they can play that really attacking, breaking the line, that kind of Ashton-style
running.
And
they play a lot of ball as well. They've got a nice little outside pattern, which I use all the time. So, doesn't seem like a good...
Yeah, I just can't... He might have been listed there. I just can't see him actually wearing that 13 shirt, because the other guys are too good, and he's too good as a winger.
Yeah, I don't think this England team is progressing, actually. I mean, he's saying he's going to build it stage by stage by stage, and every stage you get a bit better, I don't see how this fits into the plan.
It's an interesting point you make, because so first season they were unbeaten. So this is season number 3 for Eddie.
Yeah.
Season number 1, unbeaten, Grand Slam, successful tour of Australia.
Yep.
Couldn't have gone much better.
Mm-hmm.
Second season, they lost one game.
Yep.
To Ireland. They had unbeaten tour in Argentina with half a team.
Yeah, whatever that means.
But it was a full Argentina team, excluding their European players.
Yeah.
Half an England team, so that is a big positive. They won the Six Nations, albeit they lost a game, and they had an unbeaten Autumn International. This season, I mean, the last two seasons, it is hard to replicate the heights of those. Mm-hmm. So they have been the most successful international team based on wins for the past two seasons.
Yeah. I think you can forgive them if they don't win as much because it's so hard. You couldn't forgive a backward step in performance, though. And that's what I'll be looking for rather than wins and losses. I think they could still lose and be on track.
I think I've just sussed what's going on here.
Go on.
Eddie Jones is a hipster.
Oh?
You know how hipsters like to like a band...
And flavoured milk.
...that you've never heard of?
Cereal?
That's what he's doing. He's going, I'm going to go and find a raw talent in the championship. He's like a rugby selector hipster. He wants to find players you've never heard of.
Perfect.
And
ideal.
Then he'll drop... When everyone else likes someone... Like Don Armand, all the media is saying, select Don Armand, pick Don Armand. He's like, no, I don't like him anymore.
Yeah.
Don't like him.
Yeah.
It does
feel... I liked his early work, weirdly enough.
And I don't get Exeter wear tweed as well on match days. I thought he would have appreciated that. But and also, Don Armand's got a bit of a... Is it a hipster haircut, potentially? No, not really.
It's a bit of a mohawk. He's a scary-looking man.
Yeah.
Bit of a beard.
Maybe if he had a side parting, they'd pick him. And like, there you go, Don. Invest in some in some clear lens, black rimmed glasses.
What he does? Do you remember the NFL advert? Castle. What's his name? Dion Castle. Sandcastle. Do you remember that?
I don't remember that.
So the gag was Dion comes back as Dion Sandcastle for whatever reason it is, gets in the team under a different identity. What if they just change his hairstyle? Say they've called him up from nowhere. Maybe do a Stanley Gene.
Call him non-Armand.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. Armand Don or something.
Yeah.
Maybe doctor his birth certificate a little bit. That kind of thing. Eddie would pick him. He's exactly the guy that he needs.
He is the guy that he needs.
He is. It's so frustrating. But as long as he keeps winning, and that will be the test, of course. Yeah. JB thinks downfall 2018 is coming.
Well, as long as England only do rugby's equivalent of CrossFit, which is just work really, really hard, I don't see they're going to progress. Well, and do you know where they're going to struggle, I think, is against Wales, even though they're at Twickenham.
Well, on Wales, oh my, I know, I've got a thing to share with you about Wales in a minute, but Eddie is not going anywhere as well. He's around till 2021 now.
He is.
We thought he was going to be leaving the morning after the Rugby World Cup, either the final or whenever England are eliminated.
He's got his eye on the Lions and he'd be perfect.
Would be perfect for the Lions and he'd be, yeah, it'd be brilliant.
Short term. Perrin is not pissed off every single player in England by that point.
Almost certainly he would have, but still.
Yeah. That is quite exciting, having him for the Lions.
I mean, if you want, he needs to go now from the England job if he wants the Lions job and to be effective.
Nah. Or he needs to win a World Cup. Either or.
Happen. Win the World Cup. The thing is, though, what was written about is that this is all part of England's succession plan. They've looked at the New Zealand model and they want to groom their successor to take over, and they will work under Eddie Jones for a period of time between the World Cup and him taking over.
What if they can't work with Eddie Jones because he's a nightmare?
Or what if...
They only have to see him for like 10 games a season, 12 games a season.
But he's got rid of all of his backroom stuff. Like, all the doctors and stuff have left. He's too intense. How do you work with the man for two?
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense in this if your man who's taken over is already part of the team. But I'm not sure Borthwick or Gustard. They need to go out and be director of rugby at a club before
they've not
they can,
done the DIR.
Well, they've not been the head coach.
I think they'd have to bring in.
They've never been the head coach.
Yeah, but who's Steve Hansen been head coach of?
Had he not been?
Never, ever coached at a club. He's never had a head coach role. He might have coached at a club, but he's never had a head coach
but
role.
But he had, before he went to New Zealand, he had head coach of
Wales.
Wales.
That's the only time he's ever been a head coach.
That's a fairly significant job.
It's more significant than line-out coach for Japan.
Yeah, I mean, you are right. You are fundamentally exactly right here. But that's exactly what Steve Hansen did. He worked under Graham Henry. When Graham Henry left Wales, he stepped up to that.
And it's looking like New Zealand will do that again with the man that's coming through. I forget the guy's name now, but he's pretty much set who's going to be the next New Zealand coach. But exactly as you highlight, what if they don't want to work with him? And I can't imagine, say, for example, Rob Baxter saying, oh, yeah, I'll go to finishing school and do a year or two working for Eddie. No, I could see that happening.
I could actually see that as... that progression.
I can't, you know. And with Tim on this, I just can't see.
Rob Baxter, I think, would say, OK, I'll happily take the job. I want Ali Heifer to come. I want Rob Hunter to come with me. I want my team, and yeah, I'm the main man.
It's a big deal, isn't it, that they have their own people and their own systems.
Hmm. Would Baxter not want to leave that legacy and pass on the reins at Exeter to Ali Heifer?
I mean, Heifer might go to Northampton anyway.
He might do before.
You know, he might
before
be a head
Baxter.
Coach in his own rights.
He knows he's onto a good thing where he is.
Yeah, but you know, the other thing is, these are very strong characters. I just can't see Baxter. I mean, it won't be a Baxter that takes over. It will be someone in Eddie Jones' staff, I'm assuming. Almost like Lancaster.
Well, yeah, that was one name I was going to chuck in. If, let's say, for example, 3 years from now, Leinster have won 3 European Cups.
Yes.
Stuart Lancaster, I think it would take a lot more for people in England to accept that decision. However, his CV would be pretty amazing.
Here's a thing for you, right? There is a thing, isn't there, in these spas where you do hot and then go into the ice bath and then get hot again. I wonder if, like, 2-year intervals between Eddie and Stuart. So I think Stuart, like, 2 years directly after a World Cup. So we've got that the wrong way around at the moment. You know, bring in the players, nurture them, all the rest of it. Then Eddie comes in to finish them off for the last 2 years. Or maybe 3 years of Stuart, 1 year of Eddie. 3 years of Stuart, one year of Eddie.
Maybe. Hey, when it worked, so we've seen 4 years of Stuart ended up being dreadful, and then 2 years of Eddie was brilliant.
Yeah.
So maybe
so now they've got to stop Eddie in his tracks, get Stuart back in.
Yeah.
Just get him on a plane.
The cycle's not in sync with the World Cup cycle
and
yet.
No, and you've got an incredibly ruthless guy who demands incredibly high standards, and you've got a guy who, by all accounts, Stuart Lancaster is a really, really gentleman by comparison.
He's pretty harsh, though.
No, I'm sure he is. No, you have to be a coach at that level, but
not compared to Eddie, surely.
Not compared to Eddie.
I mean, Eddie Jones says things like he struggles with the concept of saying or using the phrase calling people out, because he says it's just what you should be doing anyway. It doesn't need a phrase. That's just what you do.
And some of the stories about Eddie telling players that they are just too fat. You just need to lay off the biscuits, mate.
Exactly.
That kind of stuff. Which is fair enough when you're a professional athlete, but I can't imagine... You can just imagine Stuart Lancaster taking someone out for dinner and say...
Boys, we're going to write on your shirts again. What?
Well, no, it's going to be like, I think you should order the salad today, Mako.
Yeah.
It's going to be that kind of thing, like...
Nudge.
Yeah, like nudge him units in the right direction rather than Mako...
It would be funny as Stuart rolls up the drive and you've got Dylan Hartley and Eddie Jones packing their bags to to leave.
No, he'd be sat there at dinner going, I'm just writing down my squad selection. I'm on the loose head props. Anyway, Mako, you order. What are you eating?
Yeah. Oh, mate, carry on.
Right.
So there is all the... Some other squads that need to be discussed.
Just before we go into the other home nations, with the hashtag downfall 2018, I want to extend that to France.
Oh, okay. Why?
I just don't like the look of their... I don't like the look of their coaching decisions. I don't like the look of their squad. I don't like the look of dropping Baptiste Saran and Louis Picamoles. Dropping Louis Picamoles. Louis Picamoles is probably the best player in Montpellier.
Yeah.
He might be the best player in the top 14.
Yep.
He's certainly one of the best number 8s in the world and has been for a long period of time. And he's one of the best leaders in rugby. And he's out of the squad.
Mm, yes. It's sort of like removing both your big toes before trying to attempt ballet. It's a very bizarre decision. There again, Jack Brunel, who's come in, comes with a bit of a reputation. I know he's old school, but you know, some of the lads who play in the top 14 rate him highly, and he's done a good job at his club.
He did a decent year,
first year, yeah,
year at Bordeaux after a mediocre, can we even say mediocre, disappointing 5 years or 6 years at Italy. So
the Italy job's much more complex than people realise, though. There's a lot more like systems and processes there which need to be installed before they get better.
But Italy've had 20 years of installing processes, and he had six years of installing processes.
But that's why Conor O'Shea is so important for them.
Agreed.
They're ripping it all out. Like, so I think Jack Brunel is an actual rugby coach, whereas I think Conor O'Shea, as good as he is at coaching, is the guy to establish.
Also, he's a diplomat.
Yeah.
He sees wider. But
so
yeah,
it's slightly different.
That's all I wanted to say on the France squad. I don't know if you two have got any thoughts, but I'm just not optimistic on France.
The young Bordeaux fly-half is an incredible talent, so it'll be interesting to see how France can ruin him.
Dupree,
Jalibert. And, well, him and Dupont.
Dupont,
who could be two, like a 19 and 20-year-old fly-half combination, are both precociously talented.
Everyone talks highly about Dupont.
Do those two have the experience to mix it Ireland away, England away, playing Wales in a brutal conditions? Do they have the experience for that kind of game?
You know, if they do throw it away from home, who cares? Because that's what they're meant to do anyway.
Are they going to throw it away from home? Whoever they're playing
at home. As long as they win at home, basically, the French are going to be happy.
I'm not sure they're going to do that, to be honest.
If just win at home, you'll be all right.
I think
win at home, and then the odd game in the World Cup semis against New Zealand. Every four... Yeah, that'll do them absolutely fine.
I'll put it this way. You've heard of... Even though it's a French squad, you've heard of the players. You've seen their name before. All the three people that have appeared on the team sheet.
Mm. Yeah.
You've heard of them.
That's true.
That's good.
Oh, sorry. One last thing. Just dive back into England. Is that Mercer? Will he start at 8 for England?
No.
I don't think he should.
Who will? Simmons?
Simmons, probably.
Simmons is smaller again.
Yeah.
My problem with Mercer is he's underpowered.
Well, but you're a total walking contradiction. Eddie Jones should focus more on Exeter Chiefs, and then, but except for the number 8 that they start every game.
Yeah,
who's tearing up trees at the moment?
But I think I've also said that Simmons and Mercer have to be put in that squad as an additional ball carrier, not the main ball carrier.
Yeah, that's definitely true. You've got to look at carrying from elsewhere.
Yeah, and you know, if you're worried about physicality, Simmons is smaller than Mercer.
Yeah, but he is more physical. Mercer's not a ball carrier either. He's a loose, broken field.
Yeah, guy. That's the difference. They're not heavy traffic carriers like Hughes and Vunipola. Mm. They are broken field runners.
So the most interesting aspect for me of England is the back row. It's got to be Robshaw. Yeah, everyone agrees Robshaw has to play.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's your 6, is it?
Well, it depends if they're going to play Laws or Itoje.
That's your 7.
So I'm
sure it's your 7.
If they were Laws, yeah, I think they've got to have Laws.
Probably.
Got to have Laws.
Or Itoje.
Interesting,
just watching Sam Underhill, he's changed his tackling technique.
What, he's his shoulders
he's
though, does
not
he?
Quite making the dominant hits that he was. He's making more passive hits.
So we'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah. It will. So good, because it'll that will prolong his career. Possibly bad for his England career, because he made such a name by those dominant tackles.
Courtney Laws has done the same.
Yeah,
and it's worked out well for him. So, but it's just interesting. It's one to watch. Having watched Bath a little bit, I noticed he's not smashing people how he was. But
yeah,
I can't see him not smashing someone. But it's championship on the line for England.
Yeah.
Go back to what you know.
Time it right.
Yeah.
The scrum half picks and goes, smash him.
Yeah.
Like Laws did against Plisson when he was playing, Plisson was playing 10. That kind of thing. Time it right. If Bastereau's carrying up the middle, maybe take a slightly more passive tackle.
Make a business decision.
Exactly.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's the England squad. Done and done.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'll just quickly mention the Welsh squad. I like it. I really like it. I thought they were in for, I'm now semi-confident they're going to give England a bit of a close run.
Can we have a couple of their back row players? Can we have a couple of flankers?
Which ones do you want?
Because we've drafted in Gary Graham, and Wales are so good in the back row that they don't need Thomas Young, one of the best sevens in the Premiership.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Tough one on Young.
Yeah, it is. The flankers are brilliant. So, back row, they've got Moriarty and Faletau. Mm-hmm. Faletau, who'll be missing at least the first couple of games. Then Tipperick, James Davis, Shingler, Navidi.
I love Shingler.
Shingler, Navidi and James Davis have been sensational the last couple of years.
This is without Warburton.
Yeah, no Warburton.
All idiot.
And they've also got Ellis Jenkins.
Yeah, he's a very good player.
So, yeah, some serious options. Having Bradley Davis back as well.
Yeah, they're playing well, playing like Bradley Davis of old.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad squad. Interesting, you mentioned it before, Tim, the injuries to the fly halves.
Yeah.
So, Priestland is out for at least a few weeks. Bigger, we're waiting on results. So, who starts then?
Well, Sam Davis, I think, would be next guy. Dan Jones is at the Scarlets, he's playing. Pratchell might have a crack.
So, neither those Dan Jones or Davis are in the squad.
Again?
So you've got Patchell and then Anscombe, which neither feel like a great starting international fly half.
I completely agree. Completely agree.
So that's a potential.
Or Anscombe, did you say? Pratchell's the guy, and Pratchell will get the nod.
But Patchell's not starting fly. Like,
he's not.
I know he's played a lot there in the past, and he can kick.
I understand that to be because they really like him at the moment at fullback.
Because of that kicking and decision-making option.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job. So it's kind of like a positive move, if you like. Dan Jones is playing very, very well for the Scarlets at 10. So it's a mixture of both, I'd say.
That will be interesting. But, of course, if Bigger gets back for the first... If Bigger's fit for the first game, it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
That whole conversation is irrelevant. Bigger will be started.
Good.
Good, good. So, Wales... You're positive.
Yeah, I'm much more positive. I'm very positive about their chance against England.
Well,
I mean... I think the style of play will lend itself to Wales' style of play.
You're right to be positive about Wales because we've talked about how brilliant a brand of rugby Scarlets play. And if you read between the lines, you could perceive it that Rob Howley is taking credit for how Scarlets play.
I thought it was all him. No?
In an article, I miss that. In an article, he's come out and said... Yeah, it's brilliant that there's Welsh regions challenging for quarter-final spots in the European Cup. It's what we've been working on for a couple of years.
Of course it is,
we
Rob.
Came back from New Zealand and got all of the region coaches together and said, could they work on more of an offloading game?
Oh, perfect.
It's nice to see that it's paying off.
So he's not only taking credit for Ospreys competing and Scarlets getting into the quarter-final. That sounds like he's also taking credit for... Scarlett's victory in the top in the Pro 12 last season, because he's saying it was New Zealand 2016 that they went.
So here's the phrase: we've encouraged that approach, as in the attack offloading attacking game, since coming back from New Zealand in 2016. That was a watershed tour for us, and when we got back, we got all the regional coaches together and asked them to work on their front five players passing the ball. You can now see the ambition and intent. As it's a long time since we've had two Welsh regions in the mix in the final weekend of the European Cup. Now, if you were Wayne Pivac reading that, and you've been cultivating this style over several years.
We're probably Rob
and
Howley,
won a tournament.
Probably Rob Howley calling you up every other week saying, "Where's around the corner got stuff gone?
You're not getting all the way to the touchline before
then coming back,
going all the way back to the other touchline.
What is this witchcraft?"
I bet. Yeah.
Well, I'd like to say that we take credit for
Everything, really.
Yeah, we do. We take credit for we told. I don't know.
We told Exeter to try really hard and create a good culture.
Yeah, that's it.
It was culture.
Yeah, we rang up Rob. Well, in fact, we just happened to bump into Rob in the supermarket and said, "Rob, might want to think about installing a good culture at Exeter. I think it might serve you well."
Yeah, it was about 4 years ago. Stuart Lancaster was doing some brilliant things with the England squad, and we said, "Rob, this is the kind of thing you want to get on board with.
Yeah, exactly right.
Unfortunately, we haven't seen Eddie Jones since we said Dylan Hartley, first choice hooker. It's been a few years since we've seen him.
I wouldn't trust that Don Armand. He's a bit shifty.
Never trust those Zimbabweans. Right, where were we? What happened?
Squads. So England done, France done, Wales done.
Yeah.
Scotland.
No surprises in any of these squads, was it? It's all standard.
No big ones.
No, it's fine. So, to finish, let's just return to the Champions Cup after this weekend. We've got our quarterfinalists. Let's play out this tournament in kind of fantasy fashion, how we see it playing out. So, quarterfinal one is Leinster versus Saracens.
Saracens win.
In Dublin.
Saracens win.
Oh, I can't see past Leinster.
So, Saracens went to Dublin last year to the Aviva, where this game is going to be held. Leinster have already announced.
Yeah, they did.
But that was against Munster.
Mm.
Which is, so it was a heavy Munster fan base, but it is a different proposition.
Billy will be back by then, you would think.
Should be. So they said 12 weeks.
Ooh, that might be pushing it.
So
touch and go.
Yeah, 3 months. It was a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, it will be there or thereabouts.
Leinster. What do you say? What say you, Phil? You got the casting vote.
I'm going to go for Leinster.
Wow. Oh,
I think that they have been. The problem with Saracens this season, not in his previous seasons, they have been too inconsistent. They've been up and down. They've looked tired as one of the reasons for that. Leinster, certainly in the Champions Cup, have just looked effortlessly consistent right across the board. So, give me Leinster.
Okay.
Quarterfinal two.
Scarlets hosting La Rochelle.
I have no idea.
This could be one of the games of the round.
Oh, it could be incredible.
It's 60 points to 50. Don't know which way around it is.
If La Rochelle rounds 1-3 turn up, this will be the game of the round. This will be brilliant attacking, offloading rugby from everywhere.
I just don't know. So I'm going to go Scarlets just because I am.
I think Scarlets because they're at home. If it was in La Rochelle, I'd say La Rochelle. If it's in Lethley, I'm saying Scarlets.
I agree with you. Scarlets through to a semi-final for the first time since 2007.
Next quarter-final.
Munster hosts Toulon.
Munster.
Yeah.
Munster for me.
Yeah.
Definitely. Definitely.
And the final one is Clermont versus...
Racing.
Racing.
Racing for me.
I'm tempted to go Racing as well. Clermont, it depends how many players they manage to get patched
back
up. And
I'm not sure they're going to have a fly half.
Well, they'll have one, won't they? But not. Yeah, they won't have Camilo Lopez, I don't think.
No, they're not going to have Lopez. They're not going to have his replacement. And they're currently on Luke McAllister.
Racing. Oh, Clermont at home, though.
Clermont.
Oh, I don't know. This is... Oh.
No, I think...
We're doing it for a fantasy purpose. We can do this again nearer time. But I'm going to say...
The reason it's Racing, right, is because they're just so massive. And Clermont are so massive. They just match up well.
In which, home team for me. Home team in France.
So we've got four home teams going through.
For me, yes. Yeah. JB's picking two away wins.
Which will mean that the semi-finals are, it will be the top ranked v the bottom ranked. So it'll be Leinster against Clermont. In Ireland, somewhere.
Wow.
And then Scarlets versus Munster in Wales.
Somewhere in Wales.
So I actually think that's going to be Racing Saracens and then Scarlets.
So I'm called Bilbao Leinster Munster final.
I think it's going to be Saracens versus Saracens versus, it's going to be either Scarlets or La Rochelle. Whoever wins that game is going to go to the final.
Through.
Yeah, and then they're going to meet. They're going to meet the team I just said, Saracens. Saracens.
Have you been taking mind-altering party drugs,
oh,
JB?
Oh, yes. Well done, Tim. Shall we talk about the European Challenge Cup?
No.
Oh, go on.
No, but you can talk about the person you wanted to talk about before this podcast has done, the one you forgot about. You've forgotten to talk about.
Yeah, what happened? What's happened to Will Greenwood? Is it time that we maybe have an intervention? Sit him down.
So what happened? Because you mentioned this before the podcast. So we all think they've got to think a lot of the man, right? He's as a pundit.
For a long time, sure, he was my favourite pundit.
Yeah, easily, actually.
Like, I seem to remember when we first started the podcast, we did a little jokey thing about, you know, how could we improve BT Sport? It's like, Samuel Greenwood, he is that good.
He's the only person not at BT Sport that could have added to BT Sport.
Yeah.
Apart from me.
Apart from Tim at the time, but the writing was on the wall that you'd be joining anyway.
Exactly. And then, like, I do not know what has happened.
What has happened?
So every other analogy is now about a football player. Like, he looks like Conte jumping up and down. I mean, Conte's a manager, right? Literally everything. And then he goes on these rambly stories about England and Joe Worsley, and it's bizarre. He doesn't seem to be... I don't know, he just doesn't seem to be with it.
Do you think the football analogy is partly because Sky's main product is football and he's trying to open up rugby and create analogies for audiences who might be football fans that are just tuning into rugby?
I'm not sure. Okay, so you make a good point, actually. I've never thought of that. There again, I'm not sure the powers that be at Sky who wants to attract a new audience to football are going to be that bothered about the audience watching Gloucester Pow. You know, that isn't their key growth market, is it? Middle-aged men that support Gloucester. I mean, the die has sort of been cast on that individual. I don't know what is going on there, but Will needs to have a little think about what it sounds like. He's not prepared, or he's not been watching rugby. He just it mails it in. It's bizarre.
Mm. But we think,
but we do think that
on his day.
Well, we think. We do think it's mind-altering party drugs. I think the Canterbury advert pretty much summed that up for
I'd
us.
I'd like to distance myself from that particular point of view. I don't agree.
By the way, I don't think he's on mind-altering party drugs all the time.
Get well soon, Will.
Yeah, Will, come on, be your old self.
Right, we've got a Leo Vegas game of the week.
We're legally obliged to have one, so. Let's find one then.
Give me 2 seconds.
How about the?
Actually, Pro 12, is it a week off? Pro 14, is it a week off?
Or yeah, Pro 14,
it's all week off.
Week off. Top 14, there is a full round of fixtures.
We know nothing about one of those. Top 14.
Okay.
But let's pretend we do.
Our Leo Vegas bet of the week. Get their app for your smartphone, Leo Vegas, and leovegas.com. Brilliant range of bets. They love their rugby. So even though we're struggling to find a big high-profile game, there'll be tons of brilliant options on there to make your rugby experience even better. And in fact, next weekend is even more reason to experiment with Leo Vegas. Just get yourself limber and ready for the upcoming Six Nations.
Hmm. So, which is this game?
We need to get finished and go and watch this NFL, JB.
Don't tell me any
scores.
I'm
not telling you anything.
Don't tell me any scores. I just had the text saying, wow.
Okay, yeah, I've got a game.
Yeah.
I've got a game. It is two of the top teams, the biggest teams. I was going to say two of the top six teams. It's not. It's number one against number 10. But number one is Montpellier.
Yeah.
Number 10 is Clermont Auvergne.
So Montpellier wins, they're at home. Great.
No, it's actually at Clermont. Oh. I read it the wrong way.
Clermont will win because they're at home.
Yes.
And that is our Leo Vegas bet of the week.
By how many, Tim?
By 9.
7 points, yeah.
And first try scorer?
First try scorer will be Nandolo.
Jamie Cudmore for me.
What? Brock James.
Brock James. Brock James and Jamie Cudmore. Perfect.
Aurelien Rougerie.
No, Benders. Hat-trick for Benders.
Benders!
Yeah. In-depth analysis.
There you go.
We are done. Thank you for listening. Thank you very much if you're signed up and looking forward to coming to Madrid. If you're not, it's not too late to come along and join the party. There'll be a load of rugby fans in Spain watching the Tier 2 tournament. Watching the Six Nations in a bar in Madrid, which is still dead cheap to get to, and we'll have a good old weekend there. All the details on our Facebook page. You can find us on social media wherever you are. Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.